brethren again. I want to give thanks for the mercies of God. We have a very good Father, and just the fact that all of us are here together safely and still believing is very good, and it's from the Lord. The text that this comes from is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, belief in the truth is not like a lot of believing done now. A lot of times the word belief and believe are used in a more shallow way. Like we say believe, and it means that we just think something exists, or we just think someone is telling the truth, they're not lying. But I would say that a lot of belief is a result of people's speculation. Whether you believe in Bigfoot or not, it's all because of your speculation, the conclusion that you have come to. But belief of the truth is not a result of our speculation. We have proof. We have the inspired word of God. We've already heard how his word is truth. And even in ourselves, God has done things in us that prove the truth. Now, for myself, whenever this question is posed, what is truth? I always would think of John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is truth. Now, that's absolutely right. But I found that for me, that was just like my textbook answer that didn't require a lot of thought. But it's good to think about these things. So, whenever I did, I found that it was much bigger than I had imagined before. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So in those two texts, it says Jesus is truth, but Jesus is also full of truth. It isn't just enough to use one statement to explain the truth. We can't do that. It's too big, for lack of another word. We do have a lot revealed to us about the truth, and I'm very thankful for that. We learn very much from the things we have revealed. But it seems to me that every time we have something opened up to me, every time something is opened up to us, it also shows us how much more we don't know yet. So that always makes it more sweet to think of sometime when we will know, even as we are known. Now, to add to the last two verses that I just read from John, there's another one from chapter 18, verse 37, when Jesus is talking to Pilate, and he tells him that he came to bear witness of the truth. Now, at first, when I thought about this, it didn't seem to really go together very well, that Jesus was the truth, but he also came to bear witness of the truth. But that was cleared up pretty fast whenever I read John 8:18. Jesus says, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." So yes, Jesus is truth, and he bears witness of the truth. Now, Jesus is truth, he's full of truth, and he bears witness of the truth. Knowing all that, you have to come to the conclusion that everything Jesus does is truth. The truth is that Jesus died. He took away our sin. He rose again, and now he is sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for us. And we believe that. Amen. The truth is that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. And we believe that. We have to. If we don't believe who in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done, we cannot be saved. Christ is the foundation, the chief cornerstone. And without him, none of salvation would be possible. Paul told us that to be saved, we must confess the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him again from the dead. He is the captain of our salvation, who is bringing many sons to glory. He is all in all, and we must believe in him to be saved. Now, as I already alluded to, belief in the truth is one of two means for salvation that Paul lists here. Belief would, like, plug you in to the power of salvation. As I was thinking about this, I thought of a light switch. Whenever you have a light switch, the power, the electricity, is going to that. But if it's off, it stops there. It doesn't go through it and accomplish its work. But when we believe, the switch is turned on and the power runs through us. And something is accomplished. Something happens. So, if we were the light switch, God is the one who created the light switch. He installed it. He ran the wire to it. It's his power that's going to it. And when the time is right, he's the one that turns it on. We can't even be totally credited for believing. That was not all our doing. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Now there are three texts in Hebrews that tell us about salvation and belief and the vitality of them. The first one is in chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. It says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard it?" How shall we escape if we get what we deserve? We can't. Next, in chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest, but them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." Unbelief is a great thief. If you do not believe, you are missing out very greatly. And now, in chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man shall fall after the same example of unbelief." When you don't believe, that means you have fallen. Now, in closing, I want to give you one more exhortation from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." So we've already heard that we have been taught the truth. That's in this verse. And we know who we have learned them of. His word is truth. So we've been taught the truth, and we believe it. Now we are called to continue in it. And by God's grace, we will. So it is open for you to add anything that you have.
Like you said at the beginning, how you initially, sometimes when you come to a person individually or even an area, you don't see how it can fit with the rest of the things God has said. But I found, like you said, if you leave it, you let the Lord work it, the scriptures don't contend one with the other in different parts of time. They're all actually messaged together. And it's just my infirmity, and it's time for me to wait and let the Lord go together. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy doing that.
Yes, he's faithful.
And every one of us, other sides, who've gotten into the scripture, may look at something on the surface and it looks pretty simple. When you go deeper, the further you go, the deeper it gets, until it's waters to swim in. So we all experience that because this is the living word of God.
Believe the truth before we fully comprehend the truth. If that weren't the case, none of us would be there.
Yeah.
We can believe things that we don't understand. In fact, anytime you believe something God said, you don't fully understand the full ramifications of it. Abraham and his seed being like a stars, he didn't know how that was going to work, but he believed it. And he rejoiced to see Christ's day, and that was fulfilled.
It's a good incentive. Whenever you believe, you taste of it, and then you always have expectation that there's more that you can have. That's good. Well, thank you, brethren.